What's good, what's good, what's good, what's good, Muriel Zimbabwe, Mtwagazo Mushe, Zimbabwe Mushe, Kwazwai, 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 Muriel Zimbabwe. Welcome to The Connection, a Studio 7's very own youth program that targets tackling anything and everything youth-related. The podcast you're tuned into right now is Live Talk The Connection, brought to you by Studio 7, Voice of America. And today, Muriel Zimbabwe, is today, the 20th of October, 2020. Muriel Zimbabwe, Mtwagazo Mushe, Zimbabwe Mushe. I'm your host, Michael Hove. First order of business, Muriel Zimbabwe, before we delve deeper into our program, Nasim Chirongwa. Unfortunately, Silusi Zitine Urombo, Muriel Zimbabwe, due to COVID-19, we're working from home. What this means is, unfortunately, we cannot give you this broadcast live as per usual, and you cannot tune in. You cannot join in to this conversation and call in as per usual. Nonetheless, Tripano Pachirongwa Sisonke like so, Lapa Gushelo Lechulaba Sakulayo. And what this means is, you can still send us your feedback on WhatsApp, on our WhatsApp number, +1202-465-0318. Dio number ya mokwani sa ututumida, maundere yu pa WhatsApp, +1202-465-0318. And this broadcast is also going to be available on our three Facebook pages soon after our radio broadcast, VOA Shona, VOA NWA, and VOA Studio 7. So for those that are going to be tuning in on our Facebook pages, please feel free to leave your comments in the comment section and we will see your feedback. Tonight on The Connection, Nasim Chirongwa Chiduchevichiki Muriel Zimbabwe, we continue the conversation on COVID-19, umkhuhlane we coronavirus. We speak to young experts about how the global pandemic has impacted Zimbabwean youth. Saka, ndiyonye atishange tshize, Nasim Chirongwa Muriel Zimbabwe, tshange tshiendra mberi, tshichitarisa kazviri kuitika pasi rose, tshichitarisa zvakare zviri kuitika muZimbabwe, kuti nyika yeZimbabwe iri kukanganiswa sei nechirwere checoronavirus, tshange tshizeya nyaya nevechidiki nyanzvi munyaya dzeutano. We're also going to be looking at the current state of Zimbabwean education. The government school curriculum entered a week of four. Four weeks, Muriel Zimbabwe, whereby schools have been opened. However, what this means is students have not received a formal education in 4 weeks due to the fact the teachers are not in class right now. They're still currently protesting. They're protesting two things. Number one, their current salaries. As we speak, teachers in Zimbabwe are receiving an average of at least $45 per month, of which, as highlighted by Melissa Chimwanangwana, my guest on the show last week, they're not even receiving it as hard cash in US dollars. They're receiving it in as a direct deposit into their bank accounts, which is coming in local currency, that being bond notes. So for them, they're saying that they want to receive an equivalent of at least $500. That is if they are not receiving a $500 hard cash. So another thing that they also are protesting is the fact that in the country, they're saying that there is not enough PPE within all these schools. So schools have entered week four. However, a lot of schools that are under the government sector have not received PPE or do not have enough PPE, especially in the rural areas. So that is not the only revelation that we're looking to focus on. We're also looking to reveal that Zimbabwe has experienced an increased amount of teenage pregnancies under the lockdown period. This is for different reasons, amongst them being something that teachers are going to be touching on. And of course, other women's rights advocates, they're going to be touching on why there's been this a sudden spike in teenage pregnancies under the lockdown period. So we look to hear more of that later on. Pano Pachirongwa Chevechidiki. But first up, umkhuhlane we COVID-19, chirwere che coronavirus. According to John Hopkins University, over 40,480,000 people worldwide have contracted COVID-19. I repeat again, over 40,480,000 people worldwide have contracted coronavirus. Approximately 1,120,000 people have died due to COVID-19 worldwide. And some positivity, Muriel Zimbabwe, over 27,740,000 people have recovered worldwide. So the worldwide figures, once again, are as follows. 40 million 480,000 people contracted coronavirus to date, and approximately 1,120,000 have died, and some positivity over 27,740,000 worldwide have recovered. Once again, this is a pre-recorded program, so by the time we go on air, if you go to these sites, there's a high possibility that these figures would have changed. However, that is the ballpark figure. According to the most recent tweet in Zimbabwe, Muria Zimbabwe, the Ministry of Health, Zimbabwe currently has over 8,150 COVID cases, 232 deaths to date, and over 7,683 have recovered from COVID-19. So just to repeat the figures one more time, in Zimbabwe, according to the Ministry of Health, we currently have over 8,150 COVID cases. The death toll currently stands at 232, and the recovery rate is currently 7,683 people have recovered from COVID-19. Now, the latest information released by the Ministry of Health, once again, highlights that the cumulative amounts of tests have not been shown on their latest information release. However, 564 PCR tests were conducted just yesterday alone, 12 cases tested positive, and to date, 7,683 people have recovered from COVID-19. Yesterday, we witnessed a death. One person died due to COVID-19 in Zimbabwe. The country currently has 244 active COVID-19 cases. Now, medical experts also were touching in on this. One thing medical experts are saying is Zimbabwe, Muria Zimbabwe, do not take your foot off the gas pedal. Under Muria Zimbabwe, so far, we've done so well in terms of managing coronavirus cases. They're urging Zimbabweans to continue taking the same strides in terms of preventing the spread of COVID-19 in Zimbabwe. So they're urging you to continue wearing your mask. They're urging you to continue washing your hands as regular as possible. And they're urging you, make sure that you don't meet in your large numbers. Let's head over to a bite of that where we have courtesy of Professor Soluayo Ngwenya, who is the director of Mbilo Hospital, who touches on the possibility of Zimbabwe experiencing a second wave. And of course, he gives advice to Zimbabweans to ensure that we don't continue spreading COVID-19. Let's hear more from Professor Soluayo Ngwenya.
Twaisuti, the Kogama mask, Doguti, the Kezi Zanza. Lokuthi lingaxokozeli lifuqana limelele izinto lapho elithenga khona. Liyaxwayisa kakhulu umkhuhlane lo kukhanya subuya okwesibili. Kwezinye indawo nxa ubuya okwesibili kukhanya ukuthi uyabe usulamandla. Siyaxwayisa kakhulu bantu bakithi lilandele khona okwelaka kutshelwa nguhulumende. Amamaski aqakatheke kakhulu. Sibona abaningi liwagqoka kodwa litshiya amakhala phandle. Lokhu kuyingozi embi kakhulu. Siyalincenga bantu bakithi. Umkhuhlane lo uyayenelisa ukubulala abantu abaningi nxa singawunanzelelanga. Yikho libona lokhu esilixwayisa khonapha emaredweni.
Professor Soluayo Ngwenya giving his feedback to Zimbabweans. Hanzi aiwa muri Zimbabwe, please, msakanganwe endrai mberi mchigeza maoko as regularly possible as you can. Hanzi mkana musina henu nyaye kubuda ne uwandu wenu. Hanzi please msano sangana ne uwandu wenu. Please, endrai mberi, muchipeka ma mask pamuno buda. That was our Professor Soluayo Ngwenya. Now, if you're also wondering, Uwusi, what has the experience been like for abantu abasakhulayo who have contracted Chironacha COVID-19, we also received a bite courtesy of Thabiso Kumete. Thabiso Kumete is one of the young Zimbabweans who has contracted coronavirus, and he explains as to what was his experience like. According to Thabiso, he says it wasn't even hectic. He didn't even realize he had COVID-19 until he got tested. So let's hear more from Thabiso Kumete as he basically breaks down his ordeal of what it was like contracting coronavirus and what symptoms he was showing.
Yeah, corona satholakala silayo sibili. Engakubonayo ukuthi mina kuya ngomzimba womuntu ukuthi umzimba yabe uqina kanjani ngesikhathi soneswethu etholakala elayo i-corona. Ngatholakala ngisaye ngitshengisela any ama-symptoms emzimbeni ngaphandle kokuthi ngangitshawa likhanda kwesinye isikhathi. Kodwa-ke ikhanda lakhona ongeke washo lalo ngoba kwakuyikhanda lenelo elijayelekileyo nje.
So, Muria Zimbabwe, you were hearing there from Thabiso Kumete Ngempela, who was explaining his ordeal, ebanjwa ngalo mkhuhlane we COVID-19. Echazisa ngempela ukuthi yena, he just felt a slight headache. It wasn't even anything drastic. And that's what made him realize that maybe I should get tested. He got tested for coronavirus, and he was explaining some of the symptoms that he had to go through. So those are some of the symptoms of people that have actually contracted coronavirus and what has happened. But now, experts are also highlighting another issue in Zimbabwe, which is the rural areas. Now, time and time again, we have had medical experts come onto this program, and they were saying that emaphandleni khanya ngani kulodubo ansikuma mishoko kune ngekune tikanyaya ne pamsoro pekuti mamiriro ifa ufumi wenyika make it very difficult for vanhu vanogara kumamisha to receive the adequate necessary preventative clothing such as masks, the PPE, necessary PPE to ensure that they don't partake in the spreading against coronavirus. We reached out to Nkosi Kona Dibidi of Community Podium TV, who was recently in Cholocho and Lupane, and Nkosi Kona basically breaks down his ordeal of what he saw in these rural areas. And he also touches on what exactly they're experiencing when they talk about coronavirus, the water issues, and so much more. Let's hear more from Nkosi Kona Dibidi.
In a day or two in Cholocho and Lupane, we noticed something that is different about the remote areas or remote communities when it comes to COVID-19. Mm-hmm. Like when you're talking about the Cholocho Business Center, there was a lot of activity. Mm-hmm. And you find that there was less of PEs. Mm-hmm. Literally every shop you would go into, you are likely going to be the only one wearing a mask because probably you are coming from the city. Mm-hmm. And So, in our interactions with the local authority representatives there, you know, your councillors, they will be saying, no, we just do the social distancing and we share information to people to say, they shouldn't greet each other in public places, they should keep their distance. And you find that there is less activity that gathers people in the rural communities. Mostly it's people within their homesteads and also maybe going to fetch water, of which people, ideally, the councillor was saying, people respond better to those instructions, which this thing is a killer disease, let's guard ourselves, it's easier for them. So you find that PEs are expensive. Most of the people in the homesteads can't afford at all. They could try maybe the clothes, but they are saying we'll try to do the social distancing to the center. There was no one who was actually wearing a mask that I saw. It was just the issues of around social distancing. So I was ready to see that I am just entering this shop without having someone by the door sanitizing. So these are the issues around, probably, in my view, around capacitation, economies of scale, where people can't afford to be sanitizing, like local businesses in Cholocho can't afford to be sanitizing all the time. And also, without support, really, external support, many businesses can't afford. Because speaking to which, the days when we were there, there was no electricity. So they were hustling around, making sure that you don't get loose stuff because there's no electricity. Say you are running generator 5 minutes, every 10 minutes you are switching it all off and on and things like that. So you find that the economy is there. It's completely different. The lifestyle there is completely different. Hence, when we're fighting COVID-19, we should consider how we actually assist and capacitate these local communities with the required PEs. That would be handy.
Now, let's delve into the healthcare sector within the areas. We see in big cities like Harare, Bulawayo, some hospitals and clinics actually got to a stage and point whereby they shut down because of lack of PPE being one of the generating and pushing factors behind it. Which makes me wonder, Wuti, emapan areas, what is it? So what are the local hospitals and clinics doing there?
Actually, we had an interaction with a guy who had a health challenge right there in Cholocho. So the local clinics don't have much. They can't assist much, like on the basics, really. So you have to be transferred to Cholocho Hospital, that is in the center of Cholocho. But you find that the issues are the same. They will still refer people to Mpilo Hospital, of which Mpilo Hospital is where we are, and we know that it's incapacitated already. So you find that in that chain, there is serious challenges. The challenges that we actually face in the city are worse in the remote areas, because all those people with critical conditions are referred into the cities, and the cities are already incapacitated. So it's a crisis that we have. And when you are talking about in the context of COVID-19, I'm sure, because some of the residents that we spoke to were speaking around issues, would drink those herbal,
right,
any flu, or banibani. That's how they feel they can sustain this whole pandemic.
Which then begs the question around the information. Are they receiving enough information about COVID-19?
Well, they are not receiving enough information about COVID-19. Many would refer to radio and say, we hear about it in the radio, we read about it on WhatsApp, but there's nothing that probably has been done at a local level. Particularly in Cholocho, to then say, this is what we're doing, and this is what council is doing, this is what headmen are doing, and things like that. So you find that there could be information gaps there, but however, maybe they have a way of handling the COVID-19 pandemic, as it were, because they will tell you about, we've got this starterless and this herb, so right. We shouldn't worry ourselves. Should you need some, you can have.
Right. Which then leads me to my next point. I see you touched on the comparison early on between what's happening in the big cities and in the rural areas. We know in big cities, for example, one big issue is the water shortages. Both Harare, Bulawayo, a lot of major cities in Zimbabwe right now are facing water shortages. Which can only make me wonder once again, what are people in the rural areas doing? Are they facing the same challenges?
Yes, they are facing the same challenges. I'll speak to one ward in Lubane that we visited. That is Ward 26. Wow, there is no water there. Mm-hmm. This whole climate change thing and the water sources are very limited. A whole ward will have like two boreholes. So which means you have to walk like over 8 kilometers to just get water. So you find that when we are now talking about washing hands, when we are now talking about COVID-19 awareness, some of these things get to be really irrelevant to them, because accessing just water to drink is a milestone, it's an achievement. To say, I've gone and I've got a 20-liter bucket, I'm back. It's like we've achieved something. So you find that in communities, it's very dire. We talk about Bulawayo, where we usually get water from our taps, but in the communities it's actually worse, because the wells that they used to have are drying up, so they need to dig deeper. You find that in that ward, the councillor was actually highlighting that they have to go up to 100 meters to get water. Usually they would get it at 35, so those wells dry up, so we need to go deeper for you to access water. So it's a crisis that we have. And looking into the cities, it's the same issues right now. COVID-19, I'm not sure whether I can call it second wave, but yesterday Bulawayo, out of the 37 COVID positive cases, 20 were in Bulawayo. So I'm not so sure whether we are sliding back into that issue, or because water is not there. Some of us get it once, and we are so, because I have gone for quite more longer periods without water. And now the question is, if we say, let's wash our hands, mm-hmm. how? The question is, how? Where do we get the water? And
right.
What can be done to assist in the way people get water, where people queue to get water, emabauzeni, things like that.
Now, to pull you back to the conversation on PPE, I was reading some of the, I follow Community Podium TV a lot, and I have been reading some of the articles that you guys have highlighted and focused on the things that are being done in Cholocho, for example, with regards to PPE. Are there any initiatives that are being done that are helping the communities with regards to receiving PPE, be it water donations and so forth?
Yes, in communities, you find that there are people who donate mostly PPEs. Some actually recommend, the material cloth. So there was a well-wisher who actually donated to a school because the school didn't have PPEs. Like completely, and they were already having form fours that were coming in preparation for their examinations by December. So you find that parents can't really contribute in those remote areas to say we need money for per student to pay for PEEs, but well-wishers then come in, chip in and say, okay, we can at least give you this much of sanitizers, this much of PEs, just to cater for the few that are in the school, that is the exam writing classes. But you find that according to the government schedule, by mid-November, everyone should be back at school. But the question is, are schools ready for that? In the cities, well, the schools just push the cost to the parents. But how about in the remote areas? What are we going to do?
Which then leads me to that question, of course, with regards to the schools. We see right now a lot of teachers, especially those that work in the rural areas that are under the Amalgamated Rural Teachers Union of Zimbabwe, are saying they're not going to school. Why? Because of the low salaries, but also the fact that they say that the schools are not ready to be opened because of lack of PPE. When you were in Cholocho and you went to some of these schools, what did you see?
Most of the schools had at least two people, usually the headmaster and the senior teacher only. Mm-hmm. That is from the three schools that we saw. Mm-hmm. Those are the only people that were there. The teachers were not there. So, however, the school students still come to school because it's difficult. After speaking to some of the students, they will tell you, it's not possible for me to sit at home and say, there are no teachers. Parents will say, no, schools have opened. You have overstayed at home. Go to school, you know. And then you find in this school in Cholocho, that is Ward 12, the kids were meandering around with nothing to do, with two people at school, and they can't control all of them. So you find that we can say schools are open. And we can say examining pupils that are sitting for exams this year are actually in class preparing for those. But the case on the ground is there is nothing of that happening. So why risk and say kids go to school without the necessary PEs, without the assistance that they would require from their teachers? So that's the issue now. And parents listen to what is being said on the radio and tell the kids to go to school. And the teachers have made it clear that they are not going to school, citing some of these issues around PEs in light of COVID-19. So it's a case where we might need stakeholders to sit down and see what is practical and how it can be done, because PEs in rural schools are not there. It's only well-wishers that chip in, like one who did in Ward 8 in Cholocho and supplied the PEs to the school for a certain period and for a specific number of students. So you find that without that kind of assistance, it's a risk for us to open the schools in this scenario.
And even in the case that you're citing, the PPE being given, was that enough for the whole school, or was it just for a specific number?
It was just for a specific number, actually not more than 50, I think. Mm-hmm. Not more than 50, and the sanitizers were not so much, probably just over 5 liters. And that is just sustainable for a short period of time. Mm-hmm. And what comes after that, no one knows. The head of the institution doesn't know what to do. And the students are all there, and they know there's COVID-19, there's need for sanitizing, and there's need for masks. Obviously, some didn't get the masks because they were so few. So that's the crisis we have.
Asithinte udaba lolu ngolimi lukamama nomzana Dibiti. Usanda ukutshela ukuthi uke wafika ngale eCholocho njalo ngaseLupane. Awusitshele ukuthi abantu izakhamizi zalezo ndawo bathini ngokumemetheka komkhuhlane we-COVID-19 okwenzakalayo elizwe?
Abahlali bemaphandleni kakhulu lapho etsholotsho laselubane ade sisebenzela khona coronavirus lesihlobo ezisegoli ngale i-coronavirus so yinto abasebeyizwile, kodwa uhlupho olukhona yikuthi khona nca kuthiwa akugqokwa ama-mask, nca kuthiwa emavinkilini lapho akusanitizwe, abavinkili akhona hala imali zokuthi bekwanise ukuthi besanitize njengalokho okwenziwe emadorobheni. Uzathola ukuthi nca ukuhamba njengase-etholojo business center laphana kukalutshwane ukuthi ungene amashophu engawangenayo anzaye ngibone kusanitizwa, ngoba osomabhizinisi bakhona babekhuluma ukuthi vele thina silezi nkinga zethu, amagetsi ahamba 2 weeks kwesinye isikhathi 1 week, so sebezama ukuthi bebone ukuthi amafriji ayasebenza lani lani. So you find ukuthi indawo leyana ilama challenges njalo nasesibuya ku-coronavirus kule cost ehamba lakhona, ukuthi sokufanele ukuthi kube lama PEs. Sesithola ukuthi lasemaclinic ama PEs akula, uthola ukuthi izakhamizi azila ama PEs, sebephonga ukuvala ngakho abalapho nca besiza ezindaweni ezinjengabodolobheni. So konkana kungani ukulwisa kwethu umkhuhlane lo ngani akusoze kuncede kakhulu especially ezindaweni ezisemaphandleni, ngoba akula engathi ama-resources achaneliweyo ukuthi ancedise indawo lezi abantu besiliswe kulowo mkhuhlane we-COVID-19.
Isikhathi yiso esedliwe ngumangoye debeti, sigqiba phela ingxoxo yethu. Siyezwa phela ingcwethi kwezempilakahle abagokela uDokotela Solwane Ngwenya besithi hayi umkhuhlane lo ukhanya ngani ngesiNgisi sesingathi sekule second wave usebuyile okwesibili. Sikhangela okwenziwa ngabatsha ulawo inamazi wokuphosela kulabontanga okumayelana nokuvikela ukumemetheka kwalo mkhuhlane.
Hey, uprofesa Solwane Sibili bengingaxoxa laye inyanga ezidlulile ekhuluma ukuthi hayi man into leyo akumelanga ukuthi ngani siyayiyekelela kumbe siyayiyekethisa ingane ayisekho sesingani sesiphila impilo zethu. Kodwa imeseji yami kubantu abatsha yikuthi khona ukugida sizagida next time, but kathesi let's stay safe, simake sure ukuthi i-lockdown liyana esike saba la yadi buhlungu kanti songani sokuvuleka sokumela abantu beke sike sikholise. Kodwa ngithi bantu abathi hayi asizameni ukuthi sike sime kancane, ngoba ubhubhane lonca kutshaya i-second wave. Baningi abantu abafileyo ku-first wave bantu, ukuthi ku-second wave lathi sibalwe khona lapho kulalokho esingakwenza lathi ukuthi sizivikele njengabantu abatsha. Asizameni sibe ukuthi siqinisele sincedisane i-messages sesizwile, abanye sebeyizwe kakhulu abasafunda ukuyizwa, but umkhuhlane we-COVID-19 ukusakhona, asizivikeleni.
Ha, muri eZimbabwe mazinzwira ka from umnumzana uNkosi Khona David. Sithanda ukubonga uNkosi Khona David ngokungena kuhlelo lwethu lwabasakhulayo. Muri eZimbabwe mangamuchinzwa ka kubva kuna vaNkosi Khona David phephandaba community podium TV kubulawayoko vaNkosi Khona David tsanga tshitaura nawo vangari kubulawayoko vangari kutsholotsho vangari kutsholotsho nekulupane vakambotisvike kumaruwa uko vanga vachizeya nyaya dzakasiyana-siyana vachitsanangura kazvii zvavari kusangana nazvo kumamisha. Tirikuona kakutsamba dzatotanga kupinda apo paFacebook. Baba Ruhove, aiwa musaikwa, tinotenda zvikuru nekupinda muchirongwa. Vari kukomenta kapane zvambotaurwawo naNkosi Khona David vachiti hanzi kumamisha uko kune mishonga yakasiyana-siyana iri kushandiswa nevanhu. Baba Ruhove vari kuti hanzi kunoko kune that plant inonzi zumbane. People are using it totally rinoshanda mukoma. Aiwa tinotenda nemaondero enyu, tinofara kunzwa kuti vanhu vari kutora matanho akasiyana-siyana. Tichaunzawo dzimwe nyanzvi totokurukura nezvenyaya iyoyo yokuti kune vanhu vari kushandisa maailments akasiyana-siyana. Tinombonzwawo vamwe vanhu vachibata nyaya dzeginger tea vachitanza aiwa kuno kuti tinombonwa ginger tea tinoona kuti inoshanda. Saka tichaunza nyanzvi munyaya dzeutano tobata nyaya iyoyo pamwe tichazviunzawo tobata. Saka teerai enderai mberi muri muchiuya pano pachirongwa chedu chevechidiki hohlelo T-Connection muineni Mike Hove.
In Dupane and Cholocho, a lot of households have been facing food insecurities due to human and wildlife conflicts and also climate change. In order to find out how these communities have been surviving, do check out the two documentaries by Community Podium. My name is Mzo 7, aka Mr. Gaga Gogo.
Shout out to Mr. Kakakuku. Angalumlayezelo wake ne message ya taba kupiwa na Mzo 7. You heard that. That's some of the work that Community Podium TV is going to be doing. So make sure you pay attention. They're there on our Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter at Community Podium. So make sure you check them out. Tichiripanya imwe chete muri Zimbabwe, also in the same discussion of COVID-19. There's some Zimbabweans here in the diaspora, munomu mudunure Washington DC, who are currently working together to fundraise and raise funds to help the healthcare sector of Zimbabwe. Takabata umuwao, Pesanganu, Renyasha Africa. So this organization is called Renyasha Africa. We reached out to the vice president of Renyasha Africa, Takuratela, who basically tells me more about this initiative, tells me more about the organization and how the amount of money they're raising. They're looking to raise $50,000 is going to help the Zimbabwean healthcare sector. So let's head over to an interview that I had with Takuratela.
So Renyasha Africa is a non-profit organization based in D.C., Washington. Started by Deborah Nyasha Peters. She approached me and she said that she's trying to see if how best she can help people back home, especially in the healthcare sector. After she had issues, she had some relatives who died because of lack of healthcare. So she took that initiative to see if how best she can use the resources that are out here to send some equipment and also coordinate with different medical providers. So there are different initiatives in Nyasha Africa, but the first one really is just to see how best we can send out medical equipment to help medical doctors in Zimbabwe.
Now, the healthcare sector in Zimbabwe seems to be on the spotlight right now. And one of the things that seems to be most affected by it, of course, is the whole coronavirus COVID-19 pandemic. Is there anything specific that you guys are looking to help with in terms of managing COVID-19 better?
So what we've done is we are looking at sending out equipment that includes gloves, PPE, but also to send out some other equipments because COVID-19 is the world's most talked about pandemic right now. But we do have other issues, health-related issues that are affecting the people. We've got kids that are dying because they are lack of incubators. They also lack of good sanitization. So we're trying to see how best we can incorporate everything on a health basis because just like with COVID-19, it's affecting people that have comorbidities. So if you are having issues already, pre-existing conditions, you are highly, going to be one of the people at high risk. So we want to see how best we can prevent that from happening by sending out equipment and also some health products.
Now, for you personally, you mentioned how there's, of course, Deborah Peters running the initiative. What made you want to partake in something like this?
Okay, so for me, I'm a doctor of chiropractic, so I'm in the healthcare sector. And I do have friends back home. We were planning to launch actually a program called Us and Beyond. So it's a healthcare-based program that is integrative with medical personnel and non-medical personnel in the healthcare sector. So we're gonna do some outreaches starting in Shirugwe with my friend who's his name is Dr. Arnold Teramuka. He's based in Shirugwe. So talking to Nyasha about it to say, okay, this is what we're trying to do in October. But she again talked to me about her initiative to send equipment back home. So I saw it beneficial for us to work together to
to start the initiative here so that it can help, you know, programs like, you know, us and beyond back home. So that's the reason why I, you know, I teamed up with Nyasha.
So this initiative, in essence, will also be helping the Us and Beyond project?
Yes, it will be helping, because for the Us and Beyond project, we are going in and we're offering our COVID-19 testing. We are also offering some other, healthcare programs like diabetes testing, hypertension, and also giving people like, consultations, even HIV testing, and some other health-related conditions. So with Us and Beyond, eventually we want to open up some clinics. It could be mobile clinics and then one big clinic. But we're trying, to go into remote areas to help them out. So that's where Nyasha Africa comes in, where, we're trying the best that we can to work with some medical programs here that offer non-profit programs that offer, like, medical equipment. That will help us, get those equipment back home and then distribute it to different healthcare providers.
Now, outside of just sending equipment to Zimbabwe to help the healthcare sector, is there anything else that you guys are going to be doing with this initiative?
Yes. So we are planning to see how best we can work with the e-health system. So we are looking at a system in Zimbabwe. We do have electronic health records now in the world. So we're planning to see how best we can send out that information, because having an electronic health record system can help in terms of communication, in terms of, like, different, in terms of different programs that are happening with different countries. So, like, for me, I'm a chiropractor. But for me to send information to different medical doctors in back home is difficult. But if we have a database that can just send out information about, like, neuromuscular conditions, that will be helpful. So that's what we're trying to do. Put up a communication hub for medical doctors and healthcare providers.
So is this more along the lines of just communicating, or is it along the lines of education? How would that e-health system work?
So it will have a communication and education aspect. So different, like right now in the States, they are offering like free seminars, healthcare seminars, and with continuing education. That way, different providers will be certified in different areas. But in Zimbabwe right now, the main thing is to survive, and everybody's trying to look for some food to eat, but they're not trying to look at how best they can be healthy for them to look for the food to eat.
Mm-hmm. Now, Taku, this is a youth program, so I'm more curious about the youth aspect to it. Is there anything special or anything particular to this whole initiative that is youth, that could be youth driven?
Yes. So, myself, I'm interested in, in the young adults and the youth. So, for the nation to be healthy, we need to educate our young people. We need to also give them the necessary information, especially fitness, eating healthy. That's another thing that's lacking, where, we don't talk about it that much in our communities, and we need to, help those initiatives and talk about them, promote them through sport, promote them through dance, through culture. That's the main goal, to go in and capture the young generation and get them to change their lifestyle in general.
Tichitarisa ndambotsana kurandikati chirongwa chirongwa chevanhu vechidiki. Pane zviripo here pachirongwa ichi zvakanangana nekubatsira vechidiki muzimbabwe?
Yes, TINEMA Youth Initiation Programs, eating healthy,
chirongwa ichi mune GoFundMe page zvichira kuti muri makatarisira kushanda pamwe chete nevanhu pasi rose, vanhu vakasiyana siyana. Mungatiudzawo zvizere pakuti chii chakaita kuti muve nechivimbo chekuda kushanda nevamwewo vanhu pachirongwa ichi?
So GoFundMe page iyakatanga noti tunakubatana ne organization inonzi Medshare. So Medshare occupy my equipments and this like those kumba anga mbeda with my hospitals, waga machine ma blood pressure, and then ono pay mahara and then mozungu badara kushiba kumba. Saga taona zvakaringana kuti tibatane nevanhu vamwe maZimbabweans nevanhu vepasiriya sekutizvoni tingounganidza tirakidze uzvonichi tiri musha mumwe chete and tinoona kubatsirana nekuti tsvaratsinwa achitswanoenda.
Saka mari yamunenge yamuchange muchiunganidza inenge ndeyekubhadhara kutakura zvinhu zviri kubva kuno kuAmerica zvichienda kuZimbabwe.
Ndeyekubhadhara zvinhu zvikuenda kuZimbabwe nekubhadhara duty, but hatisi kubhadhara kuita kutenga zvinhu zvacho, tichingobhadhara kuendesa kumba. Vanotipa zvese, tinotsvaga madhokotera nemalisti yezvinhu zvavari kuda, and then toenda ikoko tichatora even vanhu vekuno kumavolunteers, toenda tonoita packaging kumaofisi avo kuAtlanta.
All right, Muriya Zimbabwe, you just heard there from Takura Tela of Nyasha Africa, an organization based here in Washington, D.C. Varikuedza kuunganidza $50,000 to make sure kuti mari ichashandiswa mukusimudzira hutano. Nyadza utano muZimbabwe, so the healthcare sector in Zimbabwe. Uhlelo The Connection muineni Michael Muriya Zimbabwe, tine rurombo. Musikwanise kupinda muchirongwa semazuva ose. Zvisinei tiri pano, tiri tose. You can send us a text by WhatsApp. Panumber zvinoti +12 202 465 0318.
Bagiti, salibonani. Anyazi ukuthi kuthiwa into they are being relaxed kancane kancane ngatho kuinto lokhu kuyadeda. Kodwa ke hayi mina ngisuke uyazingumangalo uma ngingena la koBulawayo. Hayi lokho kuyinto kuyandedlula nje. Abantu uthola umuntu evaka kuyimazi kuvalisa imevu. Abanye uvala umlomo kuphela amakhala phandle athe. Hawu makanika bona kwezi. Omakanika. Hayi vele bazihlupha. Uyabona ukuthi lokho kuyabahlupha, uthola umuntu esekufakela esibhaqeni ebhize kaninga eluma ulimi. Phela omakanika nokulima ulimi kumbe yinto abayithatha ngaphi. Kodwa bakithi ngiyacela, let's try and do the right thing. Kuthi kuhamba lokho kuyinto kuhambe kodwa kungahambi nathi. Sihlale sivalile amakhala lawo nomlomo kuyimaski kuthe mba. Sigeze izandla sisanitize always. Yikwesi kupreachayo ukuthi ma ukhwehlela kwathiwa kima muntu akhwehlele lapha ukuthi lolu bhubhane lungabhebhetheki mhlawumbe luyabe lukhona. Bakwazi ukuthi sisindise abanye abaduzane nathi. Let's always listen to the rules. Mask mba, sanitize, senze izinto kahle. Ciao bangani bami.
Shout out to Madlela Sikhobokhobo, prominent comedian in Zimbabwe. The footage you just listened to is courtesy of our site, our broadcasting outlet in Bulawayo. Shout out to them for letting us use their footage. Now, early on, I touched on the fact that we also look to focus on what's happening in the schools. One of the discussions recently prominent in Zimbabwe since the fact that Zimbabwean schools closed early throughout the year, one thing they touched on is the fact that a lot of students have now had to shift their studies online, not just high school students, not just preschool students, but including university students. So we reached out to an education expert who touches on several facets that was regarding Zimbabwe, the current state of Zimbabwean education. He focuses on how COVID-19 has affected Zimbabwean education. Here we touch on several different things, including e-learning, the current state of the education system, and what's happening with teachers. Let's head over to our expert to hear his thoughts on it.
Well, the COVID lockdown has really shaken us to the core. I think a lot of things that we took for granted have turned out to be not as clear as we thought they were. But maybe before we got there, it's important to have a small reflection on the journey we have walked over the past couple of years. Mm-hmm. If you look on a high level, just look at the ordinary level exams, you find that since 1984, between 70 and 80% of our young boys and girls in the public schools fail to get 5 ordinary levels and more. And over time, we have always noticed that there's a profound gap between the knowledge and skills that our students learn in the public schools, and for that matter, the knowledge and skills that they are required to have in the 21st century communities and workplaces. Mm-hmm. When you look at this, we have roughly 200 to 250,000 16-year-olds, plus minus, that fail to get 5 ordinary levels every year, coming to about 1 million. And when you look at it since 1984, that's quite a huge number of our youngsters. Mm-hmm. During COVID lockdown, it has allowed a lot of education entrepreneurs to reflect and look at these numbers and start to ask ourselves, why do we actually have our people going to school if 80% fail? Mm-hmm. What do we teach them? If those that pass whatever our exams become maybe come up with skills and knowledge that's irrelevant to the life and community that they find themselves facing. And for that matter, how do they learn? And where does the learning take place? But let's come back to the e-learning issue that you talk about. Mm-hmm. Ministers of Education generally have a mandate that seeks to provide equitable access to quality education to all its citizens. And for you to be able to provide equitable access, you then need to have certain infrastructure available to the majority of your people. When you look at the e-learning, e-learning requires certain infrastructure to be in place. Connectivity. The last survey we did in Zimbabwe, that was about in 2018, revealed that out of the 9,500 schools with an enrollment of 4.5 million learners, you could find that about 1,000 of these schools were on ADSL. You remember the COPPA, our old COPPA, which Telwan is rolling out or rolled out. We had a number of about 1,000 of those schools. Then about 500 odd schools on fiber, and another plus minus 750 schools on VSAT. Another 500 schools between LTE and some radio links. So all in all, you're looking at 2,750 schools with some form of connectivity, which is under 30%. And therefore, you can't even begin to talk of equitable access to quality education being anchored on e-learning when no more than 30% of your schools is your, should I say, point of reference or presence in communities is sitting at that such a low rate. And this is just at a school level. We haven't even gone at household level.
Right, right.
I can only tell you that it gets worse when you start looking at the numbers. We are sitting at about 4 million households, and a small fraction of them have broadband connectivity. Mm-hmm. Yes, a large part of our country is covered by a mobile telephone, but that's really on voice. Mm-hmm. The moment you drive 40, 50 kilometers out of a major settlement, you start struggling to get any form of internet connectivity on these mobile telecoms. In any case, many of the people cannot even afford. So access is first physical access to the platform, but also secondly, economic access. So even if you have the connectivity and cannot afford, you are no worse off than the person who actually does not have, because both of you can't access the service that's actually consumed using that platform.
I was looking at some of the figures not so long ago, a couple of weeks back, that were released by Portras, where they were talking about the mobile subscriptions in the country. And they're reporting that this stuff has actually increased. But what does it mean? Because they're talking about the social sites like WhatsApp and so forth, saying that more people are using this. But how does this translate anything in terms of e-learning?
I think we need to understand that e-learning is not pushing information. Learning is not pushing information. It's a highly interactive, engaging process that makes use of highly complicated technologies that operate behind the scenes. Now, I'm not about to understand where the basis of what Portas is talking about, but I can tell you right now, working with the learners at home and 20 years working in schools, the majority of these people cannot afford. And a lot of them actually are in areas where there isn't any reliable connectivity to the internet. Yes, they may have access to voice telephony, but certainly the closest they have is probably some 3G, let alone 4G. You only find 4G in selected areas, Harare, Bulawayo, Victoria Falls. Yes, the majority of our people are actually outside these areas. The statistics are there. The numbers are stubborn. Out of the 9,500 schools, Harare has no more than 650 schools. Mm-hmm. Bulawayo has no more than 300 schools. And when you take Manicaland, for instance, with about 1,400 schools, the majority of the schools are further away from the district centers like Mutare districts, Rusape, Chipinge, Chimanimani. They are back in the rural areas.
Sithanda ukubonga umnumzana Itai Masimirembwa nekupinda mchirongwa mazvinzwira ka muri yeZimbabwe. From Itai Masimirembwa, he is a education entrepreneur or an education expert. Vanga vachinyatsozeya ka nyaya ye e-learning vachita nemaondo avo sezvo zvinhu zvakawanda muZimbabwe zvichiteedza mari yakawanda, especially pachobata nyaya yedata uyezve vazeya nyaya yeinfrastructure and e-learning inenge iri kuti netsei. For the full interview, please go to our website, www.voazimbabwe.com. Masimirembwa gives a full in-depth explanation as to what needs to be done to ensure that next time there's a global pandemic, Zimbabwe is more prepared and the education sector works out better. But earlier on, I also touched on the fact that Munyika Pani Munyaya Tinetse, which is also being accredited to the COVID-19 lockdown, and of course, Nyaya Kuti Varairi Tavasi Muzvikoro. Recently, a lot of organizations, teachers organizations included, have revealed that there's been an increase in terms of amount of teenage pregnancies in the country, one of them being the COVID-19 lockdown, and of course the fact that teachers are not in school, a lot of students are getting up to no good. Let's head over to a member of PTUZ, Aba Takavapira Joe, who explains to us via telephone what exactly is happening in Muzvikoro, uyezve, why there's been a spike in terms of teenage pregnancies.
Takaita ongororo ma four provinces. And chatakawa na kuma four provinces yao, ndicho kuti ma pregnancies ano range from 1,500 2,500. Saka on average, takaona kuti zvinoreva kuti vana 2,000 per province, vane pamviri. Saka tichitarisa izvozvo, tikazotora kuti tine 10 provinces. Takuchi applya tashandisa maprovince atakashandisa for. Tinoreva kuti tine vana vanopfuura 20,000 vakaita pamuviri panguva yakubva pakavharwa zvikoro kusvika pari zvino. Chikurukuru chandingada kuti nditaure ndechekuti zvikoro zvakavharwa muna March pasina hurongwa hwakajeka hwekuti tidzidzise macommunity nevana vechikoro kuti vaonewo kuti kudzidza kune chiedza mune ramangwana. Saka vakawanda vanga vasina any form of entertainment, pasina yatingati pedagogical yokera contact nevana, vakazofara havo nezvikomba vakaita pamuviri. Zvekare vana vari kuona vamwe vari kumberi kwavo vachiratidza kuti havana zvavanoita, saka vanongoonawo sekuti chikoro hachina basa. Asi zvikurukuru zvatinoona sekuti ndo zvakaipa kuti vakawanda vaite pamviri tichiburikidza netsvakurudzo dzedu dzekuti vana vakanzva kutaurwa nehurumende kuti iko zvino chero ukaita pamviri unokwanisa kuti urambe uri kuchikoro uchidzidza zvako. Kuvana havana vakawanda havana kuzoona sekuti kuzvidzivirira chinhu chikuru, vakaona sekuti hapana zvinovakonesa kuti vaende mberi kunyange zvavo vakaita pamviri.
Alright, Maria Zimbabwe, you just heard from Takavafira Joe, Vesangano, Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe. He was basically explaining his thoughts and his take on why there's been an increase in teenage pregnancies. One thing he focuses on is the fact that when schools closed back in March, he said that there was no actual program set in line which was going to help a lot of these young teenagers in terms of ensuring that they kept busy. And because of that, they ended up in situations whereby they're with their sugar daddies and so forth. Tukuonaka babaruo vanyura zvakare hanzi mukoma Mike zvinosiririsa zvirikuno kunyanya panyaya dzenhumbu hanzi vana vachiri vadiki ava uye zvinotivhiringidza mafamily set up edu. Aiwa tinotenda babaru nemaondoro enyu. Sakanga nemuri yeZimbabwe +12024650318 is the number you can text us by WhatsApp kana muchida kutipa maondoro enyu. But now, women's rights organizations also stepped in on the conversation. Over time, we've had conversations surrounded around gender-based violence. And throughout these conversations, one thing they've also revealed and highlighted is the fact that there has been an increase in teenage pregnancies, and this is based on because of gender-based violence and, of course, a lack of access to contraceptives. That's another thing that we focused on Pano Pachirongwa Chedu last week, where we had our medical expert Constancia Mawoza, and she was highlighting that. Let's head over to a conversation, to a clip that I have, which was sent to us by the actress Sisaba Girl of Roots, whereby she focuses on that and reveals what exactly is happening and why there's been an increase and how the COVID lockdown has contributed to the increase in teenage pregnancies.
We're talking about the impact of COVID-19. We have seen a lot of women and adolescents, I would say, failing to access essential sexual and reproductive health services, gender-based violence services. As you know, there's a period where there was not enough PPE in institutions like clinics and hospitals. And our organization actually works in hard-to-reach areas like farming and mining communities. So you would have, service providers turning away young people. If you don't have anything life-threatening, if you're not dying, if you're not bleeding, nobody's going to attend to you. So if you want a condom, you will not able to get it at an institution, or if you wanted, maybe counseling services or HIV critical services like HIV testing, you would not get that. You'd be turned away. So it really impacted. We have witnessed and recorded increased cases of teenage pregnancies, increased cases of sexual and gender-based violence that have been reported. So that has been the impact of COVID-19. But we've also gone a step further to sort of respond to such issues. Like you asked earlier, what have we been doing besides other services that I talked about? As an organization, we have been going to communities to do what we're calling mobile clinics. So we go with health personnel, we provide them with the necessary support, with necessary PPE. Then we go to communities where people are and where people need the services. Since they can't get the services from the clinics, then we're taking the services to the people. And we found that to be very helpful, not only for adolescents or the youth, but also for women and the under fives, because we're providing comprehensive services where, if a mother or a young woman comes with a child, they also get services, family planning services.
Sandukonga upi actually savage ngokungena kuhlelo ngokusipha umbono wakhe ngaloko okwenzakalayo esikolo lapho siyezwa abantu besithi the youth, there's been an increased amount of teenage pregnancies. Earlier on, we heard from Mr. Takavafira Joe explaining, saying this could be, the closing of schools added to that. And we actually savage also explained that the COVID lockdown added to that. Bwana kwalamhla muri eZimbabwe mthakazo muhle sesifikile emaphetsweleni wohlelo lwethu labasakhulayo tasifika kumagumo echirongwa chedu chanhasi. Ndinoda kutenda all the people who added to this conversation. Sakangano kana muchitauti pamaondori munokwanisa kutitumira mamessage edu pawhatsapp panumber dzinoti +12024650318. Sesifikile emaphetsweleni ohlelo lwethu labatsha muri eZimbabwe, feel free to chat with me at BigMike3, BigMike3, and on Twitter and Instagram. So shangana, same time, same place, lapha uhlelo lwethu labasakhulayo sangana pano panefenyure studio 7, same time, same place, next week. Anokonekani mfaro, ndine wenyu Mike Gove, muri yeZimbabwe, mthokazo muhle, bye bye.